An hour of smiles in Town Hall tonight, folks, to start your happy new year. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salipatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salipatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian Fred Allen and his Mighty Allen Art Players. Music with Peter Van Steeden, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Town Hall Quartet. And another group of anxious and eager amateurs. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! Yes, sir, listen to that crowd cheer. Fred Allen as he heads his weekly parade to the Old Town Hall. Fred and the band are carrying signs with their resolutions spelled out in neon light, and the Mighty Allen Art Players are walking backwards, afraid to face 1936. Let's join the happy throng. Everybody's going. Here they come. Unhappy husband. You say you're leaving, Minnie? Breaking up our home?
If you're too cheap to fix the radio, I'm going back to Mother. Town Hall tonight.
Give me 10 gallons of gas and 2 quarts of oil.
Sorry, lady, this filling station's closed for an hour. It's Town Hall tonight.
Mind readers.
And what does the future hold in store for me, Gypsy?
You will stop to enjoy life in 2 more minutes, madam. It's Town Hall tonight. And here we are at the Old Town Hall. There's Fred standing on a lighted gas stove welcoming the crowd. Let's listen.
There's no place like home, folks, but the next best place on Wednesday nights is the Old Town Hall. Father, mother, sister, brother, you're all welcome, so kindly go right in.
Happy New Year, Mr. Allen.
Same to you, Mrs. Lucas. Hope you have a perfect 36.
I was a perfect 36, but land sake for me, eat the fat today.
Laugh and grow fatter on the inside, Mrs. Lucas. A song, a joke, some good old hope. Hurry, folks.
Got your furnace going in the hall, Allen?
You bet, Sheriff. The furnace is going full blast.
Good. You can roast them chestnuts you've been using for jokes all year.
Hold your billy, Sheriff, or I'll get your goat. Hurry, 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 hurry,
the orchestra's
hurry.
Ready, Fred.
Okay, Harry. Tell Peter we'll open with Sunny Side Up.
Righto. Let her go, Peter.
Keep your sunny side up. Up high, the side that gets blue. If you have nine sons in a row, baseball team saves money, you know. Keep your funny side up, up. Let your laughter come through. Do stand upon your legs, be like two fried eggs. Keep your sunny side up.
Presenting that Herculean Harlequin of hilarious hodgepodge and Homeric huzzah, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before shaking a loose leaf out of the ledger of fun we've assembled for you this evening, I'll read you the Town Hall Bulletin for tonight. Hodge White, public grocer number one, says that starting today, January 1st, there'll be no more loafing around the store. Hodge says, fun is sport, fellas, but some of you boys sitting on the egg crate have hatched out the 2 top layers. Now, Hodge says he doesn't mind folks sitting in the store, but when you start setting, you're carrying the yoke too far. And now for the Town Hall news. Say, Harry.
Yes, Fred.
Present.
Yes, sir.
Shall I mark you present?
Well, partly.
It isn't liquor, but if you take one drop, you'll see things. What is it?
It's the picture sheet, Fred. I'll drop it right now.
Thank you. And what does a man in Glasgow do when his face lights up, Harry?
He turns off the lights in the room, I guess. Here they go.
The projector starts, and we bring you the latest news of the week.
The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. Chicago, Illinois. Judge Sabbath, after studying 46,000 divorce cases, says that married couples should consult marriage doctors before rushing into divorce courts. Town Hall News shows effect a marriage doctor would probably have on a married couple given to chronic fighting. The scene, Mrs. O'Toole's kitchen.
Oh, the music goes...
This is a fine time to be coming home. Where was you?
Who wants to know?
I want to know. It's 7 o'clock. Your supper's been on the table an hour.
Yeah, well, I ain't hungry.
You've been drinking again. Let me smell your breath.
Get away from me or I'll...
You what? I'll wrap this frying pan around your neck till your Adam's apple thinks it's canned.
You do, and I'll put your nose in between your toes like a bookmark.
That's right. Strike me, you boot.
I never turn down an invitation. Here.
Oh, you wife beater. Take this.
Why, you... I'll pull your hair out till you think I'm weeding your scalp.
Oh, oh, let go of my hair.
Ah, quit yelling, will you? Who's at the door?
I hope it's a cop.
Let him in. He can referee this brawl.
Good evening, my children.
Beat it, buddy. We're busy.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I'm a marriage doctor, Mr. O'Toole. I heard you two fighting. I just stopped in to patch up your quarrel.
Who's asking you to butt in?
Now, now. Always remember, folks, marriage is a union of the souls.
And with my luck, I had to pick a heel.
What's the idea? Beat it, buddy.
I refuse to leave, Mr. O'Toole, until you shake hands with your wife.
If we shake hands, you'll go?
Yes.
Okay, shake, Nellie.
Put her there, Tim.
Ah, that's better. Now just go through life holding hands. Bless you, my children, and good day.
I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, and good riddance. Now, where was we?
You had me by the hair.
Okay, let's go.
Oh,
I
don't,
in your ears,
don't,
Radio City, New York. Town Hall News looks back on 1935. While newspapers and other radio programs bring you the highlights from the past year, the Town Hall News brings you the lowlights, a parade of nobodies, a cavalcade of those whose trivial activities in 1935 meant absolutely nothing. Bellingham, Washington. On January 2nd, Mrs. Falcon Drudge, Bellingham housewife, caught the first mouse trapped in 1935. Mrs. Drudge.
Yes, I did. I smelled a rat around the house. First, I thought it was my husband, but I set the trap to make sure. Well, along about midnight, January 2nd, I heard the trap shed, and I had him.
Is this the mouse trap you used, Mrs. Drudge?
Yes, it is. Want to hear it snap?
I'd love it. Thank you.
Hollywood, California. On February 4th, Man Mountain Haley released the loudest grunt emitted in any wrestling contest held during 1935. The grunt. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. On March 7th, Mr. Llewellyn Kidd was the first person to cough during a Theater Guild performance in 1935. Mr. Kidd.
Yes, I won the Pulitzer Prize for coughing in theaters 2 years ago. Last year I had kind of a slump, but I came back strong, 35. My first cough was from the balcony at the Nixon Theater during the Gill show, Taming of the Scram.
It's shrew, Mr. Ted.
Shrew, scram, what's the difference as long as you beat it?
And now, will you show us the cough that made theatrical history in 1935?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Watch out for the spray.
Thank you.
New York City, New York. On April 21st, Mrs. I'm a Pest proved herself to be the most annoying autograph hunter unearthed in 1935. The scene, the sideshow at Barnum and Bailey Circus. It's closing time.
Oh, Freak! Freak!
Mr. Freak to you, lady.
Could I get your autograph?
I'm the armless man, lady.
I know, but you write with your toes, don't you?
Yes, but I'm all dressed ready to go home.
Oh, I just got to have your autograph.
I'm sorry, lady. I'm through freaking for the day.
Maybe, but I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm simply going to get your autograph.
Okay, lady. Take off my shoes and let's go.
Radio City, New York. On May 9th, Ronald Twigg, local hillbilly, local number 7, was the first amateur to get the gong in 1935. How did it happen, Mr. Twigg?
Well, I was singing, She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain. Well, sir, I just had her started downhill when, bang, the major let me have it.
Can you show us how it happened?
Okay. She'll be coming around the mountain.
Thank you.
Old Orchard Beach, Maine. On November 12th, Mrs. Clement White, wife of prominent real estate baron, was the first person to laugh at a town hall program for 1935. This was along about November. How did it happen, Mrs. White?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I was just sitting near the radio listening, and all of a sudden I busted out. I ain't sure yet it was the program. It might have been something I asked.
Can you show us how loud you laughed, Mrs. White?
Yes, about like this.
And once again, the Town Hall News brings you the outstanding sound of the week. From coast to coast, on January 1st, millions of Americans tear the last month of 1935 from their calendars. The tear.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And the overwhelming heartiness of my manner is due almost entirely to a happy remembrance of New Year's dinner. Turkey, yum-yum potatoes, whipped to a frothy frenzy, creamed onions, pumpkin pie.
Wait just a minute, Fred. Do you realize what you've been eating?
Why, of course I realize what I've been eating. Mashed potatoes, creamed onions,
yes, Fred,
pumpkin
pie. But now wait, do you realize that those are all soft foods? And that soft foods don't give our gums the toning and exercise they need?
Harry. Maybe I shouldn't have brought the matter up at all.
Well, I'm glad you did, Fred, because our teeth are seldom white and sparkling if our gums are tender and under-exercised.
You're not suggesting that everyone eat rock candy exclusively, are you, Harry?
No, of course not, Fred. I'm suggesting iPana with massage. Because iPana is the toothpaste made especially to tone and stimulate your gums. And to clean and polish your teeth at the same time. This widely used, pleasant-tasting toothpaste in the red and yellow stripe tube has long been a safeguard against pink toothbrush, that warning sign of soft, tender gums, and an assurance of whiter, more sparkling teeth. So always remember iPana for the smile of beauty.
Pana Troubadours have just played from the top of your head, so you can put your hats back on now before you catch cold, and thank you. And now on Friday night, Professor McIntyre will hold a recital of his bagpipe pupils here in the hall at 8 o'clock. Tickets for the bagpipe concert will be 25 cents, with ear laps, 35 cents. Quiet, please. If that's some bridge player bidding in his sleep, I'll be down and see you with one club in a minute.
Hello.
Well, sir, as I live and try not to talk like a cowboy with these chaps on my lips, if it isn't Portland.
Yes, Mama's Bridge Club is meeting at our house tonight. So
what are you doing out? Are they playing with the dummy wild?
Oh, Mama's Bridge Club doesn't bother with the cards. They just meet to dish the dirt.
Oh, spades are always trumps, eh? did you have a New Year's party at your house?
I'll say we had a swell time.
Did your father go out to one of the nightclubs again this year?
No, Papa just hit himself on the head with a bottle and rolled under a table.
Well, that's one way of saving the cover charge.
I'll say. Mama kept her eye on Papa this New Year's. She only let him drink cider.
Well, cider isn't bad. He'll probably wake up thinking he's an apple and go looking for William Tell's head so he can sit down for a while.
Papa hates cider. Mama caught him putting gin in it to kill the taste.
Really? To kill the taste of the cider, huh? How did she know he was tippling?
When Papa put two ping pong balls in the goldfish bowl and said, "How do you want your eggs?" Mama had him.
I can imagine. What did she do? Cut off his spending money?
Papa never has anything to spend. He tried to get some money yesterday.
Doing what?
He held himself up, but he didn't get anything.
Holding himself up? That's a form of insanity, isn't it?
It's just as sensible as that fellow who kidnapped himself.
Hey, you've got something there. That one-man bundling, hey? If people start kidnapping themselves, the gangsters are certainly going to be pretty sore about it, doing away with the middleman like that.
Gosh, I don't even know who's public enemy number one these days.
Public enemy number one? Let me see. There's a tough midget out west. He's public enemy 3/8.
If they break up those tough factions, people will feel a lot safer in 1936.
That's right. And now if you run along home, I'll know my outlook is brighter for the coming year, too.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm starting it off right. Miss Boggs!
Miss Boggs!
Miss Boggs!
Yes, yes, dear child. You don't need a whinny of trumpets to summon me. And now the beck or cat call, and I'm at your service.
Time flies, madam. And as far as I'm concerned, you wore out your welcome on the way up here.
Oh, you've been with your honeyed words.
That's right, Miss Boggs. Get kittenish, and Mr. Allen can't resist you.
Kittenish? Kittens don't live to be Miss Boggs' age.
My dear men are like putty in my hands. They're so much goo.
Miss Boggs is hot stuff, isn't she?
Hot stuff? She and the Chicago Fire were hot about the same year. She's dizzy enough to be hostess in a revolving door.
I'll bet you wouldn't talk that way if you knew Miss Boggs was a debutante.
A debutante, I know. She came out when the Rose Bowl was a petal.
So that mankin sign off the handle, Kim.
I guess that gets you, Mr. Allen.
Listen, Portland, this dame looks as though she's getting alimony from the boogeyman. What does she want from me?
Miss Boggs is starting a new business.
What was her old business? Chaperone for Betsy Ross?
No, no. I was debutante captain at Shrove. I had charge of all the debutantes on the 40-cent luncheon.
I'll say, and before that, Miss Boggs was a caramel feeler at Hyler's.
A caramel feeler?
Yes.
What's a caramel feeler?
It was my duty to feel all caramels to make sure they weren't too squishy.
Yes. Squishy caramels get in your bridge work, Mr. Allen.
And your friends get in my hair. You should give away a comb with every introduction.
And before I went in for caramel feeling, I was head jello steadier at Child's.
What's a jello steadier, Miss Boggs?
Well, when a truck passes Child's, your jello always quivers. It was up to me to rush from table to table and keep the jello steady.
Miss Boggs has a profession now, Mr. Allen. She's a portable conscience.
What's a portable conscience?
It's for people who can't trust themselves to keep their New Year's resolution.
Yes. Suppose you resolve to stop drinking as of January 1st, 1936.
You're afraid you'll be tempted, so you hire Miss Boggs.
Yes. On January 2nd, the demon rum beckons to you from the window of a cocktail bar. You go in. I follow you.
If you do, you pay for your own martini.
Does Mr. Allen order a cocktail, Miss Boggs?
A side saddle. He's just about to break his New Year's resolution. I lean over and whisper in his ear, put it down, you naughty juggin.
And I put it down, huh?
Yes. That's right. Your portable conscience has spoken.
And the day is saved.
Super, definitely.
P.S. Does Miss Boggs get the job, Mr. Allen?
Well, I don't really know whether I need a portable conscience or not right now. I'll have to try her out first. Now, suppose I've resolved to let Portland bother me. But all of a sudden, I feel an urge to chase her out of here.
Your portable conscience says, Teddy, not again, Teddy.
And that stops your urge, doesn't it, Mr. Allen?
No, no, the urge is twice as strong. Now I'm chasing you both out of here.
Really? Oh, well, in that case, I must meet him.
Me too, Kins, Miss Bob.
So long, Kins Portland.
Tally Hawkins.
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight the boys get aboard their merry-go-round of song, mount their mahogany steeds, and sing, Oh, How I Love to Ride the Horses.
Gib, sir, to the races, sir? Oh, yes, sir, step right in, sir. You know, sir, 6 days in the week I drive 3 horses up and down Piccadilly, Limehouse, Strand, and all of London town.
One day in the week to be at leisure I arrange. I turn me back on me horse and neck, and then just for a change I love to ride the horses on a merry-go-round. Around and around, on a merry-go-round. I off up in the saddle, and like a shot I'm off, making blinking nervous specs of the other jockeys riding on the horses next. I've ridden all the courses on the fastest of steeds, the finest of breeds, from London to Leeds. You can have your blooming polo and you're riding to the hounds. I love to ride the horses on the merry, merry-go-rounds.
Oh, Moffitt, well now, here we are at the track, sir.
Oh, thank you, cabby. I say you should forget your silly merry-go-rounds and come along with me now for a real race with real live horses. Pick your horses, white or black.
Hurry, hurry, they're on the track.
Make your bets, put up your dough.
Ready, boys? All right, let's go.
They're off in a bunch.
Like a shot from a gun with Sparky up front, and look at him run. A Luke is second and Popeye is third. At a snozzle and back, he's trailing the herd. The quarter and Sparky's in front by a length. A Luke is coming with plenty of strength. Now Cheetix is giving old Popeye a chase. They're running like mad. Oh boy, what a race. They're now at a half at a furious clip. The jockey on Sparky is using the whip. And look at old Popeye's coming up fast. A Luke is leading and Snozzle is last.
I say, here he comes. Look at Snozzle, my word. The blight is not running. He's flying like a bird. They're coming down the stretch and there he goes. Hooray for Snozzle. He wins by a nose.
Oh, it ain't very exciting, is it, sir? You know, someday you must come with me to a carnival. Because I have me horse at Blackpool, and so I have me friend. And next week I intends a bit of racing at Southend.
You can have your bloomin' ascot and your blinking ups and downs.
I loves to ride the horses on the merry, merry-go-rounds.
He loves to ride the horses on the merry, merry-go-rounds.
Thank you. Put those brass rings back, boys. Say, Harry.
Yes, Fred?
There's a gentleman here with something for you.
Oh, well, that's swell. What is it?
Well, it's a witness chair.
A what?
Now, you just climb up there and find out. The case is yours, Mr. D.A.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Now then, Mr. Bunzel, do you swear that what you're about to say is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Well, yes, but I'm...
Good. Now, I understand that you've been recommending sal hepatica to people for colds. Is that true?
Yes, that's true, because you'll find...
Please don't interrupt me now. You've been saying that when a person has a cold, there are usually two things wrong with them. Poisonous wastes in the body and too much acid in the system.
Exactly,
if you please, Mr. Von Zell. So, you've been saying take sal hepatica at the very beginning of a cold, because sal hepatica is the mineral salt laxative that does not just one, but two things. It both rids the body of waste and it combats acidity.
Well, certainly, isn't that the scientific way to treat a cold?
I'm asking the questions, Mr. Von Zell. The scientific way is to get plenty of rest, nourishing foods, lots of liquids, and to put 2 teaspoonfuls of sal hepatica in a glass of water and drink it at the very first sign of a cold. Isn't that true?
Of course it's true, because...
Then that's all I want to know. I thought I was right, but I just wanted to be sure. Is there anything else you want to say?
Anything else? Well, just one thing. Remember sal hepatica for the smile of health.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the Mighty Allen Art Players, the first actors ever to perform in a livery stable to save the wear and tear on the carriage trade. Tonight, these histrionic marvels, with the accent on the his, present a mystery melodrama entitled Murder at the Microphone. Or, if you're listening in, it's probably Murder at the Loudspeaker, too. The play opens in a radio studio. Overture, Peter.
This is station WET. If you have the correct time, congratulations. And now, attention all. Captain Benny's rowboat is on the air.
Yes, here comes the rowboat, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight she was supposed to dock at Biddle's Wharf, but the river got wind of it and dried up during the night, so we've got the rowboat anchored in a puddle right here on Main Street. There goes the gangplank, and here's Captain Benny in person.
Thank you, Tiny. Well, folks, thank you, folks. Folks, you're just folks to me, folks. Oh, folks, I'm shot, folks.
Fire! Fire, please! Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, Captain Benny has just been shot at the microphone. The rowboat radio program will not be heard at this time. Thank you. Station WET, signing off.
Hey, you page boys, yeah. Carry Captain Benny into the control room. Get a doctor.
Yes, sir.
Now, quiet, everybody, quiet, please. You people in the audience, keep your seats. You actors and musicians, stand by until the police get here. Captain Benny has been shot. The guilty party is still in the studio. No one will be allowed to leave.
Well, here's the detective, Mr. Guffner.
Yes, I'm Inspector Bungle. What's happened, a felony?
No, Captain Benny's been shot, Inspector.
Who did it, you? Come clean. You're fooling with the law.
No, I'm Tiny Guffner, the announcer.
No, don't evade the issue. Who do you suspect?
I don't know, Inspector. The rowboat program had just started. Captain Benny stepped to the microphone. A shot rang out.
All right. What's this crowd doing here? That's the worst in New York. The minute anything happens, you got a crowd around. Who are these people?
Could I have your autograph, Mr. Inspector?
Squat, lady. How did all these witnesses get in here? Did you advertise this shooting, officer?
Why, no.
Guffner?
No, these people are here to see the broadcast. They get in free.
Quiet, everybody. Excuse me for calling you officer, Guffner. I flattered you there. I take it back. Now, quiet, everybody. Inspector Bungle talking. You're all under arrest till I solve this mystery. Now, where's the body, Governor?
In the control room, right through this door.
Now, don't none of you people move. Inspector Bungle talking. I'll be right back. Hey, who's this guy laying here in the sailor suit?
That's Captain Benny. Is he dead?
If he ain't, he's holding his breath perfect.
Feel his pulse.
That won't help. There's only one way to tell if a radio actor's dead. Who'd you say this guy was? What's his name?
Captain Benny.
Oh, yeah. Say, Captain Benny, can I have your autograph? How about your autograph, Captain Benny?
Is he signing it?
No, I guess he's dead, all right. Now, I'll grill them people back in the studio. Quiet, everybody, quiet! Inspector Bungle talking. Now, Captain Benny's dead. He's been murdered. Quiet! Quiet! Hey, Guffner, what are them people applauding for?
Oh, I'm sorry, Inspector. I held up the applause sign.
Well, put it down now till I solve this mystery. Then I'll take one bow, no more, no less.
Yes, Inspector.
Now, where was Captain Benny standing when the shot was fired?
Right here, directly in front of the microphone.
Which way did he fall?
Over on his side. He kind of slumped over.
I see. Then the shot was either fired from back where the musicians and actors are, or somebody and he's in the audience did it.
Well, I don't know. I just heard the shot, and then I saw him fall.
Yes, I saw him fall, too. I'm Mary Blue.
Where were you standing, Miss Blue?
I was back here humming my song. I'm poor little buttercup.
Lucky you didn't get to sing it. They might have got you, too. Did you see who fired the shot?
Oh, no, sir. The trombone player blew a note in my ear, so I didn't even hear the shot.
An accomplice, eh? Here, you with the trombone.
Yeah, Inspector.
Let me hear that note.
Yeah, I play it.
Yes, that was the very note, Inspector.
That's no note. Sounds like an opinion to me. You're not getting personal, are you?
No.
I'll answer it, Inspector.
No, don't touch that phone, anybody. Hand it to me, Guffner. This might be a clue. Hello?
Hello. The program is coming in fine, Major. I want to vote for Hector Pink as the Erster opener.
This is Inspector Bungle talking.
Hello, one vote for Hector Pink as the Erster opener.
Lady, there's nobody opening Ersters around here. There's been a murder committed. Captain Benny's been shot.
Don't change the subject, Major. One vote for Hector Pinkus.
Make a note of that name. Hector Pinkus, Erster opener. He's apt to fry for this. Now, who else was back here when them shots was fired?
We were.
Yeah, who are you two guys?
Corn Syrup and February. We's the rowboat comedians.
Yes, sir.
Where were you when Captain Benny was shot?
We were standing right here. I was saying to February, who was that lady I seen you with last night?
And I said, that was no lady. Boy, you need glasses.
We didn't kill Captain Benny, sir.
You won't kill anybody with them kind of jokes.
Look here, Inspector. Inspector, we're not getting any place.
I'm the detective here, Governor.
On the rowboat with Chute Uncle Benny, we all loved the old boy.
Why don't somebody tell me these things? If that's the case, I'll grill the audience. Tell that woman in the second row to come up here.
Yes, Inspector. Madam, you, madam, please.
Indeed, I'm Mrs. Goldberg. I don't know nothing.
Where was you sitting when Captain Benny was shot?
In the wrong studio. I got two tickets for Uncle Don, but in the excitement, people is pushing me in here. So I'm coming in here accidentally. But believe me, I'm going out on purpose.
Here, you can't leave the studio until the inspector solves this mystery.
Inspector, please. By me, he couldn't inspect a guest meter.
Quiet. Where were you sitting? Answer yes or no.
In the second row.
Did you hear a bullet pass you when Captain Benny was shot?
No, but I heard two shots in my vicinity, but I didn't feel the breeze from the bullet.
That's all. Thank you. That's all I wanted to know, Guffner.
Good work, Inspector. Who shot Captain Benny?
That's all I want to know. Them shots was fired by someone sitting in the first row.
Uncanny. How do you know?
Mrs. Goldberg sat in the second row, didn't she? She heard the shot, but didn't hear the bullet pass her.
Uncanny deduction, Inspector. Oh, but there are 10 people in the first row.
Yes, and none of them knew Captain Benny.
Well, how do you know that?
Did you hear any hissing when the captain came to the microphone?
No.
Then nobody knew him.
Uncanny!
Right. So the motive couldn't have been personal. Must have been something he said.
Well, what are you going to do?
We'll start the show over again, Guffner. I'll read Captain Benny's part myself. Where's his script?
Right here. I'll make the announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to present the rowboat program after all. Inspector Bungle here will play Captain Benny's part.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go, orchestra.
And here's your old friend, Captain Benny, in person.
Well... Well, folks, thank you, folks. Folks, you're just folks to me, folks.
Did they get you, Inspector?
No, no. I got on me bulletproof windbreaker. Grab that little guy in the first row.
Here, come back here, mister.
I didn't do anything, honest.
I saw you. You fired two shots at me. Search him, Guffner.
No, now, what are you doing?
Here's the gun in his coat. It's still warm.
Well, it ain't mine. I got on my brother's suit.
You're under arrest, Inspector Bungle talking. I charge you with the murder of Captain Benny. Come on, fess up.
All right, I killed Captain Benny. I couldn't help it. I tried to kill you, too.
Did you know Captain Benny?
No.
Did you know me?
No.
And what's all the shooting for?
It was you two saying folks. You guys on the radio were always calling me folks. Folks, folks. Well, folks, thank you, folks. You're just folks to me, folks. You're driving me nuts. I had to shoot, folks.
Come on, brother. I'll call the wagon.
Folks, folks, folks.
The man's crazy, Inspector.
Every master of ceremonies ought to be shot.
He may be crazy, but he's talking sense right now.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you for the first time on the air that still small voice that's never as still as you'd like it to be. The voice of conscience.
The voice of conscience, Fred?
Yes, Harry. And here it is.
You did it again, didn't you? You ate too much, much too much, and now look at you. You've got a nasty grouch and a headache that would fit an elephant. Well, Happy New Year, and it serves you right. Maybe you'll know better next time, but I doubt it very much. Very much.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, if that still small voice is accusing you of holiday overindulgence, you can always drown it out. Just put 2 teaspoonfuls of Sal Hepatica in a glass of water and drink it any time on an empty stomach. For when you wake up feeling dull and logy, there are usually only 2 things wrong with you. 1,
poisonous waste in your body.
Right, and 2,
too much acid in your system.
Right again. And we suggest Sal Hepatica because it's the mineral salt laxative that both rids your body of those poisonous wastes and combats your acidity. You'll soon be feeling your old normal self again if you'll just remember Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall continues immediately after your station announcement. Folks, and that was No Other One, played by Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours and sung by the Town Hall Quartet. And now here comes Fred, followed out on the stage by a group of anxious and eager amateurs ready to compete in tonight's amateur contest. Let's give them a real Town Hall reception.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and Uncle Jim Hawkins, our amateur chaperone, assures me that tonight we greet another group of aspiring Tibbets, Gallicurchies, and Rubinoffs. Here to compete for our first prize of $50 and the week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City and a second prize of $25 in cash. The winners will be chosen by you folks here in the town hall. Your applause will be recorded on the Johns Manville applause meter here on the stage, and the 3 acts receiving the highest ratings will be called back later so that you may give the matter serious thought and select your final winners. Now, tonight, it is my pleasure to welcome first on our program, Master Eddie Samuelson. Is that right? Is that the correct pronunciation?
Sal Manson.
Sal Manson, Sal Manson. Huh? Well, as long as all of the letters are in there, Eddie, we may as well pronounce them. There's no need of throwing those letters away there. Well, a happy new year to you to sort of start things off. You live in Brooklyn?
Yes, sir, Mr. Allen.
Do you? What part of Brooklyn?
Bensonhurst.
Bensonhurst. Now you go to...
Bensonhurst.
Benton, you're a middle syllable man from the word go, aren't you? Sal Manson and Bentonhurst. Huh? Well, we'll get the let the syllables fall where they may as we go along. Do you go to school in Bentonhurst? Bentonhurst.
I go to New Utrecht High School in Bensonhurst.
Oh, in Bentonhurst. I get it. You carry too much weight for me. That ton in Bentonhurst there is a little too much for me to handle. Do you go in for athletics at the school, or do you go in for any of the sports?
Well, yes.
Do you look rather muscular and athletic there? I thought I'd inquire. What do you play? Baseball? Basketball?
Soccer.
Soccer? Do they have a soccer team at the school?
Well, they just won the city championship.
Oh, they did, huh? That's rather a rough game for a high school, isn't it? Soccer?
No, it isn't.
I've seen some of those professional soccer games. It always looks to me as though they just have the ball hanging around on the field so they can get away with a gang fight. I don't know. I don't see why they even need the ball when they start to fight. Well, you're going to play the harmonica, Edward, hey? And what are you going to play?
Harmonica Fantasy.
Oh, that's one of those chromatic ones, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
A great improvement over the others. You're going to play the what?
Harmonica Fantasy.
Harmonica Fantasy. Thank you very much. Playing Harmonica Fantasy. Thank you very much, Eddie. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I am confronted by three charming young ladies, the three Gibby sisters, also from Brooklyn. Is that right?
That's right.
Gibby, it sounds like past tense of Gabby, doesn't it? You girls are real sisters, aren't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. just don't slur it off like that. I mean, after all. I wish you had two other sisters. I'd know how Dr. Defoe is going to feel about 15 years from now. You girls have what part of Brooklyn do you live?
In Ridgewood.
Oh, in Ridgewood? That's not near Bentonhurst, is it? I just wanted to get everything straightened out. You have a harmony singing trio?
That's right.
And you're all sisters?
Yes.
Remarkable how you manage to keep harmony in the family, isn't it? Well, it certainly is a pleasant sight to see three such charming young ladies about to engage in harmony to start off the new year. Of course, Lord knows what will happen later on during the year, but we'll start it off in the right spirit. Have you sung much in public? The second time, really?
Yes.
How do you feel about it? What would you like to do? Would you like to become professional singers later?
Yes.
In radio?
Yes.
Would you really? Well, I hope you're successful. I don't know. There's something about radio. It's the new medium of entertainment. Years ago, when there were more theaters and things, people used to go around hating the sight of actors. But today, millions of people are walking around the country hating actors by sound. They don't know even know what the people they hate look like. They have to wait for television to come in. Well, what are the three Gibby sisters going to sing?
You Are My Lucky Star.
You Are My Lucky Star. Thank you very much. You go to the piano. You play the piano for yourselves, too? Well, that's certainly swell. Three very charming young ladies, ladies and gentlemen. You Are My Lucky Star. You ready, girls? Thank you.
Lucky in your arms. You've opened heaven's portal here on earth for this.
three Gibby sisters. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the microphone is William Reed, a gentleman dressed in rather an oriental get-up here with a large coat and a turban. Mr. Reed, you are a baritone?
Yes, sir.
And you... What? You don't mind if I ask you why you're wearing the turban, do you?
Well, I'm a fortune teller.
Oh,
I? This is my outfit that I wear in my profession.
Oh, is it? The outfit you wear when you're telling fortunes,
sir? Right, I'm fortune.
Don't you have the crystal that goes along with it?
Well, I have my crystal gaze with me tonight, but I have one.
Well, how do you... This is very interesting. I didn't realize. When I saw the turban, I just thought, well, there's a lumpy beret, you know, that got... I didn't know. Say, it certainly is good fortune having you here tonight, Mr. Reed. I've never met a baritone fortune teller before. How do you tell fortunes? Do you mind if it was cards or you use some crystal or cards or stargazing or do you have some other...
No, not any of that. I was just born a medium. And I can read you by looking at you and depending on what month you're born and... All the sun you're under, and I can tell you.
Well, that's very interesting, and I'm very happy to have you here tonight. Now, apart from the singing, do you mind? Do you think if I crossed your palm, that you could just give me a sort of a little reading here on the side before we get going with the song? Well, what is your fee for a reading, as a rule?
Well, I don't like silver much. I take green.
Oh, you do? Well, I don't know. If you want to, I'll just ask you, how much for about three questions?
Three questions?
Three for a dollar. Do you think you could make it?
Well, that's pretty reasonable. I don't
want to have the occult union after you. I mean, if it's going to get you in any trouble, well, I'll pay you a dollar down, if you don't mind, and I'll just ask you three questions. You don't mind, do you?
Absolutely not.
Now, do you think I'm going to be successful in radio during the coming year?
Well, what month were you born?
Oh, I forgot. I beg your pardon. I was born in May, Gemini, twin. I mean, there's only one of me, but according to the stars, I showed up one short.
Well, you are born on the very lucky sign, being serious. Three great men were born in your month. That was Ellen Hubbard. And Gene Tooney and John
Tooney.
McCormick.
All born?
Two bright men.
Oh, well, four bright men. I mean, after...
Well, including you.
Oh, well.
Four.
And one man about to be kindled here. All right. Is that the whole reading now? Could I...
Well,
what do you see about the presidential election next year? Have you got any... does that come in Gemini, do you think?
Why, no, not exactly. But our president we have now... Theodore Delano Roosevelt will be our next president. You can bet on that.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad to. And I don't have to ask you, of course, who's going to be the next heavyweight champion.
Well, now, I wouldn't be too certain about that.
Oh, yes, but we know. That's no secret. Well, thank you. Oh, pardon me.
I'll say, though, that I'm quite sure that Joe Louis.
And I... Well, that doesn't really count. I don't think you need the crystal to see that. Well, Mr. Reed, I want to thank you very much for your hearty cooperation. And now, what would you like to sing as your baritone solo?
Well, I'd like to sing a song that really touches me when I sing it. I feel it within. That's why Dockers Were Born.
All right, thank you very much.
Someone had to pick the cotton. Someone had to plant the corn. Someone had to slave and be able to sing. That's why donkeys were born. Someone had to laugh at trouble, though he was hard and worn. Had to be contented with any old thing. That's why donkeys were born. Come on and sing, sing, sing when you're weary, and sing when you're blue. Sing, sing, that's why white folks to do. Why, someone had to fight the devil and shout about Gabriel's horn. Someone had to stop that parade that would bring God's tyrant to be passed. That's why God is born.
That was William Reed, the baritone fortune teller. Thank you very much, Mr. Reed. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet Richard Wade. Mr. Wade, according to my little slip here, you play, sir, two pianos at the same time.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Rather an expensive hobby, isn't it?
Yes.
You have to keep two pianos around the house all of the time?
Yes.
How did you first discover that you had this ability? Did you just cultivate it?
I went to an operetta one night, and they were using two pianos. At least there were two piano players. And after the operetta was over, I went up and started to play one of the pianos. And then I put my hand on the other piano, and everyone thought it was grand, so I started to play in two pianos.
Well, that's fine. It just came to you out of the blue, as it were. Well, what are you going to play for us tonight?
The Rosary.
The Rosary on two pianos. Thank you very much. While Mr. Wade goes to his two pianos here, you're all set up over there with the mic and everything, aren't you? You all right? Thank you. Thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, kindly meet Miss Gertrude Goldie. Miss Gertrude Goldie from Paterson, New Jersey. Is that right, Miss Goldie?
That's right, Mr. Allen.
And you are a blues singer?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
I'm 16.
16 years old and singing the blues already, huh? What would you like to sing?
Well, I'd like to sing that new song, The Music Goes Round and Round.
The Music Goes Round and Round. Well, we're very fortunate. I think it looks as though you've won before you even start. Maybe we can stop the whole thing now. Thank you very much. The music goes round and round. You put it in there and it comes out.
Now you blow through here. The music goes down and around. Whoa, 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 and it comes out here. Now you push the first valve down. The music goes down and around, whoa, 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 when it comes out here. Oh, I push the middle valve down. The music goes down and around, below, 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 diddly, ho, ho, ho. Listen to that jazz come out. Then I push the other valve down. The music goes down and around, whoa, 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 when it comes up here. Oh, I push the middle valve down. Music goes down and around, below, 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 diddly ho ho. Listen to that jazz come out. Then I push the other valve down. Music goes down and around, whoa ho ho ho. And it comes out here. Where? Here. Yeah.
That was Miss Gertrude Goldie of Patterson. And that concludes tonight's contest, ladies and gentlemen. And now, while I look into the expressive face of the applause machine, I'm going to ask Harry to give us a New Year's greeting. Harry.
To all our friends of Town Hall, both old and new, the Bristol-Myers Company, makers of Vipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty and Salhepatica for the smile of health, sends a sincere greeting. May you begin and end this new year in health, happiness, and prosperity. Now, while Fred is still trying to get the ratings from that applause machine, let's see what we can get from Peter Van Steeden and the Ipana Troubadours. Give, Peter.
Time, Petey. You can have those two notes back. Thank you. Yes, Harry, ladies and gentlemen, the applause meter reveals that your applause has been heaviest for the following acts. Richard Wade, the three Gibby sisters, and Miss Gertrude Goldie. Now, I'm going to ask Harry to hold his fine Italian molten hand over the heads of these boys and girls and ask you to applaud once again for your winners. Are you ready, Harry?
All ready, Fred.
Now, first, the boy from Harlem. Fancy, at my age. A boy from Harlem who played so well on the two pianos, played the rosary so well, one piano with each hand, Richard Wade. And next, from Brooklyn, New York, the three little girls who sang the Harmony Sisters, who sang You Are My Lucky Star, the three Gibby sisters. And then the little girl you heard sing last, from Paterson, New Jersey, who sang The Music Goes Round and Round, Miss Gertrude Goldie. Thank you. And what does the machine say, Harry? Thank you very much. Uncle Jim is nimble. Thank you. The first prize, ladies and gentlemen, an unusual occurrence has happened here with the applause machine. The three Gibby sisters and Miss Gertrude Goldie are tied for first place with decibel ratings of 77. They win the first prize of $50 in cash and the week's engagement at the Roxy Theater in New York City. I don't know how we're going to straighten this out, but as long as it's mixed up so well, I will give the second prize myself to Richard Wade, the boy who played the two pianos. I think that was sort of even things up. I'm sorry you all couldn't win, but thank you very much for coming, and better luck. This is Fred Allen saying good night, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget that the Town Hall doors will be open wide to greet you next Wednesday evening with another hour of smiles. Next week, a big anniversary program, bringing back a group of amateurs introduced on this program during the past year who have made good in professional circles. Until next Wednesday, then, this is Fred, spelled Ipana, Allen, spelled Salhepatica, saying see you Wednesday. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.